Good afternoon once again. The title of my sermon today is God's Grace and His Commandment. Believers of grace. People think we don't have any commandments. We don't obey God. We just live anyhow. And what we like best is to sin. Have you heard that before? Haven't you? That those who believe in grace, they don't obey God's commandments. Is it true? Well, we will see as we go on. And then we'll look at this question. Are there commandments under grace? Do we have commandments under grace? You know, Abraham lived for over 400 years before the law. And the Bible says Abraham walked with God. And in the New Testament, the book of James, he said he was a friend of God. Those were times before the Ten Commandments were given. But the Bible says he obeyed God. Brother, when God gave the Ten Commandments, God knew man can't keep the commandments. You see, the law was given for man to know that there is sin. God knew man can't keep it. If you really study the Bible, you will see that when they came under the foot of Sinai, and Moses went up there with the elders, and they saw the majestic glory of God, the thunder and everything, they were scared. So they said, Moses, tell God whatever he tells us, we will do. Before even the law came. You see, man was boasting in himself. For over 400 years, we've been slaves in Egypt. We've carried burdens, we've carried heavy things. What can't we do, God? But you know, the laws were not God's main agenda. Let us, before we answer the question, are there commandments under grace? Let us now look at why the laws were given, the purpose of the law. In Romans chapter 5, verses 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And brethren, the last time I spoke here, and I spoke on the love of God, that God is not angry with us. No! And in Mr. Henderson's thought for the week, you heard, God is not an angry God. No! The word entered here is to set any concordance. Greek concordance. You will see that it means for stealth, secretly. So the law was brought, you know, secretly, alongside. It wasn't God's agenda to bring the law. God's agenda is grace. His agenda is to be gracious unto us. And that is what David saw. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. David was a man who lived under the law but enjoyed grace because he understood God. He tapped into the grace of God. So you see, when you study the Greek word entered, it means it was brought in secretly. The law was brought in secretly. In Galatians chapter 3, brethren, Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? What purpose
does the Lord say? Why was the law given? He said it was added because of transgressions. It was added because of transgressions. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that where there is no law, there is no transgression. Hallelujah. So you see, sin was in the world. But while there was no law, or there is no law, there is no sin, or there is no transgression. We were born in sin, because Adam sinned. So we all are what? Sinners. But when there is a law, and that is where we transgress. When we break that law, then we do what? We transgress. So you see, though sin was in the world, God was not imputing sin to man until the law came. And when you break the law, that means you have transgressed the law. And here, in Galatians chapter 3, where we read, it says, it was added, and that same word, when you check in the Greek, it's like it was annexed. So that should tell us that no, the law wasn't God's main agenda for man. God's main agenda for man is His grace. That's why in John chapter 1, 16 and 17, it says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And mind you, truth is on the path of grace. So are you telling me the law and everything was not true? It's true. God's word is true. But you see, Christ is the truth. He says, I am the truth and the life. Brethren, so we see, let's read Romans chapter 5. Let's look at 4 first, 4:15, and then we go to 5, 4:15. It says, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. So then you see that look, from the time of Adam broke that law, that mighty law, and man's glory. From that time up to the time of Sinai, they walked with the Lord. Noah walked with the Lord. Abraham walked with the Lord. There was no law. But they obeyed God. In Romans chapter 5, let's go there. And let's start from 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Our Bible is telling us now. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Brethren, so you see, between Adam and Moses, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed to man. That's why David said, blessed is the man to whom God imputes no sin. And when David said that, you know who the people he was referring to? He was referring to us. Because you and I are in that era, in that period, where sin is not imputed unto us. Hallelujah. Because Christ took our sin. When Christ died, where were we? That's what the Bible says, that generation is blessed. When Christ died, I was not born. He took my sins on the cross. And that is what we are telling you. We are preaching that forgiveness of sins. Our sins have been forgiven. He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, let's go to our question. Are there laws under grace? 1 John chapter 4. Sorry, 1 John chapter 3. We'll come to 4 later. When my sister was giving her sermon, I said, wow! My sister, hallelujah, God bless you for that wonderful sermon. And I thank God for the life of our pastor, Barry. You know, he started a series on love. Very good. I thank God that today's messages and everything has been on love. The Bible reading, how to handle one another. And it's good that, you know, we try as much as possible, but I won't say try. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us into the same, you know, lane, the same path, and the same goal. So now, let's see. Are there laws in the under grace? 1 John 3, let's start from 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That is where those who believe so much in love say, yes! That is it. The commandment. It's talking about the commandments of God. And it's true. You know, I remember when I was growing up, John is saying something which is very relevant. If you take heed to what he's saying, you will see that yes, what he's saying is right. When we are growing up, and on Saturdays, if we do not attend church, one, I must have a valid excuse to give to my dad. An excuse that he will say no. Or, I mean, I will say, yes, whatever you are telling me is right. When we are growing up in Indiana, Saturdays don't go to church. Feast days you don't go to church. The Sabbath, oh man, you must have the valid excuse. You see, and John is telling us, if our heart does not condemn us, we are confident towards God. Do you get the point there? You see, when you break the law, you know I have sinned. And you see, that confidence is what? It's broken. You be like Adam. When he broke that law, he became afraid. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out what? Fear. And whatever we ask, we receive it because we keep his commandments. We know we are keeping it. When you say, you come, you know, oh, I've done it. My daddy is happy. Today, I was there. And my kid brother, the one who is just after me, he doesn't like church. So, those times, oh. When it's time for us to get prepared, we'll be missing in the house. But when we go, okay, at least we've satisfied that. And that day, when we come home after the Sabbath, wherever we want to go, oh, okay, do we know we are happy, at least we satisfied that. It was all those times. It was like pleasing someone. It was when I grew up and understood grace that yes, I started living. To be honest, that was when I started living, real living. Because you see, when you obey the question, I have done it. You didn't do it. That sort of thing. Like at the conference, them and us, we do it. They don't do it. Sort of life. But you know what? The Bible, John, the spirit that was upon John was so much that he continued, brethren. He didn't stop there. 23. He said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us. Yes, I'm only to my sister. So if it was you those days in school, I copy you. I would say that. Yes, I'm cheating. I'm taking a letter from you.
Brethren, they say, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. And when did Christ give us this commandment? It was when he was about to die. Let's visit that story in John chapter 30. The Gospel according to John. You know, it was this same John who wrote 1 John. Yes. So let's recapture the story. In John chapter 13, verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify in him. God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You see, when you read 1 John uses that word, beloved, little children, beloved. You know, have you noticed that? When you're reading 1 John, it's there. He's speaking like Christ. Little children, 33, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, he told the Jews, he didn't tell us, he told the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. But to the disciples, you will come, you will be with me. Hallelujah. There are many places, many mansions in my Father's house. I go and prepare a place for you. When we are reading, let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of the word. Now, 34. A new commandment. And brethren, I think anything new is new. Isn't it? When I came here, and I was told, oh, we've got a new keyboard, I was happy. And I believe it's new. New is new. We shouldn't think new here means the Old Testament has been somehow refurbished or, you know, painted, repainted somehow. Christ said, you can't put new wine into old wineskin. If you do what? Yes. So new is new. A new wine needs a new wineskin. Hallelujah. So now, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, 35, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So, you love one another as what? I have loved you. Brethren, in the Old Testament, what did the Lord say? Love one another as yourself. Do you see? In the Old, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. I have to love you
like myself.
And you think I'll love you correctly?
Today the sermon is good, so my heart, my spirit is high.
Hello, my sister. Hello, my brother. How are you?
Oh, Jesus is good. Because the sermon is nice, and my spirit, you know, is flying high.
Tomorrow,
I had a quarrel with my wife, and I come to work, and someone unknowingly stepped on my toe. Are you, if you don't take care of you? This is me. Can I love you like my neighbor as myself?
Amen. Come on, brother. Let's be real here.
But you see, Christ said, love one another as I have loved you. So now it behooves us to know how much Christ loves us. If we know how much Christ loves us, we will then know how to love our brother. Hallelujah. So God blesses. And you know when this revelation came, I said, thank God for our Pastor Barry. Look, the few sermons he's giving on love. You see God's love? The Father's dance. You see it? I mean, it is God who loves us. We will come there, brethren. Let's look at a brief history of the Ten Commandments. They were on ten commandments on two tablets. The first four talk about your love for God. You shall love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength, isn't it? And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second one. These are the main. Let's look at that. I don't want to. Let's look at the story in Luke chapter 10. Our sister quoted that story from Matthew. But let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke 10:25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is what the Bible says. And Christ said, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Hallelujah. But here, he says, love your neighbor as I have loved you. And first one is saying, the first one is called, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's look at something in 1 John chapter 4. Let's not come there. Because that is where the Apostle John defined love for us. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start from verse 8. It says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is what? Love. So God is love, isn't it? Let's continue. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Brother, wait a minute. The first, the commandment, the Old Testament says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Isn't it? Now, John, who was a disciple of Jesus, is telling us that this is love. Not that we love God, but he says love us.
Do you see the difference here, brethren? The Old Testament says, you shall love. But John is telling, no. Not that we love him, but he first loved us and he died for us. So God is telling us that, no, believe in the death of my son for you. If you believe that God so loved the world and he sent his only begotten son to die for you, you believe in his love for you, not your love for him, then you are keeping his commandments. Hallelujah. Do you get it? Am I clear there? The Old Testament says, you shall love me, you shall love them, you shall... But no. Rather, believe in my love for you. All the Old Testament, or the Old Commandment, let's say, commandments demand your love. Grace is saying, take it and give it to you. Believe it, receive it. Sorry. He says, receive it. This is my love for you. For us who are sinners, my son died for you. Believe in that. This is the love of God, brethren. It's not that we love God, but that he first loved us. And he sent his son to die for us. Let's look at something in 1 John 4:19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Well, it's not your love for him, but his love for you. Believe, and anytime you believe and you tell God, Father, thank you for your love for me, you are obeying the first commandment of God. Hallelujah. And you know, John, you remember, at the crucifixion, he was the only apostle or disciple who was standing under the cross. One goes there, if all this leaves you, I will never forsake you. He boasted, Peter boasted of his love for the Lord. But when the time came, he denied him 3 times. But John, if you remember, he always said, the disciple Jesus loved. So while he was, you know, Christ was still on earth, he was confessing of the Lord's love for him. Brethren, let's go out there being conscious of the Father's love for us. This is love. Not that we first love, but that he first loved us. This is the apostle of grace. Because his name is God in grace. Johanna, that is it, John. Peter means stone. And stone is a commandment. Yes. I always say, the stone has been supplanted by grace. Peter, James, John. That's the meaning. James means supplant. So Peter stole James, supplant John, grace. So, Pastor John, your name is grace. He doesn't understand me, grace. Hallelujah. He doesn't understand me, grace. The John's here. This is a wonderful story, brother. Now, let's go to loving one another. Brethren, we will never be able and really love one another if we don't know how much Christ loves us. And as I said earlier, it behooves us to know how much Christ loves us in order to love one another. If we know how much he loved us, to the extent that he died on the cross for us, it is then and only then shall we be able to love one another? If you don't know how much He loves us, brethren, we will never be able to love one another. There is a story. It happened on the 7th of December, 1987, in Armenia. And any time I read that story, it touches my heart. It's about the Father's love. There was a great earthquake in Armenia on the 7th December, 1987. And a school block came down. And there was this man, people were searching for dead bodies and stuff like that. This man came. And he started digging out. He was asked, what are you doing? He said, look, I'm looking for my son. 12 hours passed by, no sign of his son. 24 hours, no sign of his son. 36 hours, no sign of his son. 38 hours. And then he heard some noise. Hello, hello. And the boy shouted, Daddy. 38 hours. How many days? About 3 days and over. 38. 3 days and some hours, 2 hours. You see, when the brother came down, God is a wonderful God. God formed a protection for the kids. And this boy, whose dad single-handedly looked out for them, was telling the friends, my daddy will come. My daddy will come. My daddy will come. My daddy will come. And this man alone for 3 days searched for his child and found his child in there. And you see, the child's word was, Daddy, I know you will come. Brother, you see, the boy was so conscious of the Father's love that no matter what, he knew that dad would come. And I wish we could also be conscious of the Father's love. That he loved us so much to send his son to come and die for us. Some time ago when I was I'm walking about, I sort of fear. Now I walk boldly. You know why? When I'm walking, this is what I tell myself. Father, thank you for your love for me. I thank you that you love me so much. I thank you and I confess your love for me. And if the Father's love is for me, what should I be scared of, brethren? What should I be scared of? Nothing. Nothing, brethren. This afternoon, John is telling us that, look, yes, the Lord commandments under grace, we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe because we believe that God sent His Son to die. And knowing how much He loves us. Last 2 weeks, when I was in North London, Pastor Barry was there. And he made me understand 1 Corinthians 13. You see, we thought love is not jealous, love is kind, love is this. It is love. But not knowing, it's God. Can you love like that? Can you love the kind of love that 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about? Can we? We can't. It's talking about God's love. Love is patient. Are we patient? We Because I'm standing here, you might think I'm Christian.
Ask my wife. You see, when we know how much the husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself, do you think you love your wife so much or husband so much that you can go and then die for your husband or die for your wife? And there are many beautiful women. I mean, you know, No. You take the lead, I'll follow later. I'm telling you. That is the truth. The love that our pastor is teaching us now, that is the agape love, the godly love, telling us, and he is unfailing God's love to us. And see, the more we know of his love, the more I can love Vanessa. The more I can love my sister. Yes, because you see, when you come to the knowledge that look, someone died for me. Someone was so patient with me. Someone was so kind with me. Someone, you know, was so jealous. It's in that thing where I be able to offer that same love for you. Because if I am to love you, in the Old Testament, like myself, love you as myself, I don't think. If you ask my wife, when the food is not much, okay, you eat or ask, no. Christ, when it's not eating enough, he was able to feed them with that and they were left over. That is love. In terms of scarcity, he was able to provide. As our mother said, when the food is not enough, you know what they do? They sacrifice and give it to the daddy. Daddy, I'm like, oh, daddy, because they've gone to work, so they, when they are, back there, I'm present. Human love, love. The Lord demands. Grace has come. Grace says, I know you are hungry. Take it. I supply you. That is the Father's love. He loves us so much, brother. He loves us so much. And this is our Lord. And that is our Savior. May his name be praised forever and ever. Amen.